Welcome to the SNS ICE podcast, your go-to source for the latest news and in-depth insights into the world of 6G in Europe. Join us as we dive into industry news, analyze the latest trends, and discuss the development of the new generation of cellular networks.
Welcome, everyone. Good morning. My name is Kostas Trichas with the 6G Industry Association. And I also have the honor of serving as the SNS Technology Board Chairman. And today we are pleased to be here to present to you the first white paper that the Technology Board, which is the collaborative body of the technical managers of all SNSJU projects, the first white paper that we came out with, which is about the artificial intelligence and the machine learning as a key enabler of 6G networks. So we're going to share with you the methodology, approach, and AI mechanisms currently being developed by the SNSJU projects. We recently published the paper. It's publicly available on our website. And today we're going to walk you through it. What are the main findings and key insights that you can get from this paper? With that said, I'll jump into the introduction part. Just to paint the broad picture to know what we're discussing here. So the SNS currently has three active call projects falling within the first two phases of the SNS, as you can see here. So we're 2025, we're well into phase two. The first project from call one are going to slowly start wrapping up here. In total, there are 79 funded projects from the first three calls and more than half a billion euros invested. 1,244 total entities have been funded in these three calls. There are 505 unique entities, as stakeholders participating in multiple projects. And 26% of them are SMEs, claiming 24% of total EU funding, 24%. And there is a spread of 33 participating countries around Europe that take part in this call. Keep in mind that because the third call just barely started this year on January 2025, the white paper and the data that you will see only concerns projects from the first two calls, as the projects of the third call only now getting started. So with that said, what was the thinking behind creating this white paper and performing the survey? So early on, we, of course, AI is the buzzword of our days. And from very early on, we've identified that 6G networks are going to be AI native networks. So it's going to be one of the major building blocks of 6G networks, no longer going to be like an additional feature. And based on a survey that we conduct every year among active projects, it was found out that the development of AI and ML power technologies and features is actually the top aspect being investigated by the projects. You can see here on the right-hand side, the classification of the different aspects that SNSJU researchers are looking into. AI ML power technologies are at the top, followed by system and network architecture and the ubiquitous computing, orchestration of resources, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a wide variety, but at the very top is the AI ML. So at the technology board, we agreed that we need to find out a little bit more about what the researchers are looking into, what are the different models being used, what is the methodology that each of the project is following, what type of data we're using. So since we saw that this was the top aspect being investigated, we wanted to find out a little bit more. And this is where this white paper and this TP survey started. So we created a questionnaire and circulated it to all the projects engaging with AI. There was quite a detailed questionnaire, and actually we had 33 SNSJU projects that responded. Quite some detail, providing insights into their approach and mechanisms that they developed for AI and ML. And this is where all this statistics and information you will see today is coming from. So be aware that the publication, if you download the white paper, you'll see that we also touch upon the AI regulatory framework, the international landscape, as of course we're not alone in Europe looking into these aspects, and the implications that AI mechanisms may have on the 6G networks. We will not be going into this today, but we'll be sticking into the actual statistics from the projects, as I think this is the potentially the most interesting part. But be aware that there is more information on the actual white paper. So just to put things in perspective, as I mentioned, the survey that you will see here today practically reveals information about the mechanisms developed by 33 different SNSJU projects. And on the top graph here, you see the split among the different calls. So 22 projects from call one and 11 projects from call two have responded to the survey, providing information about their AI ML mechanisms. Those are the projects that are really engaged with AI. There are additional projects, as I mentioned, new projects are coming in this year and, of course, the following year. So we expect that, let's say, the number of projects that engage in AI ML will grow. So this is only first step. We will probably need to follow up. But for the time being, this white paper represents information from these 33 projects. And these 33 projects are developing in total 199 different AI and ML mechanisms. Almost 75% of those are coming from call one. It's also not surprising, as call one projects are the oldest projects, so they are a bit more mature. They had time to develop more mechanisms and investigate them in depth, while call two only been operational for 1 year, and they will probably also increase their effort and start investigating more mechanisms as we go forward. But in any case, this definitely shows a very significant engagement and the importance that AI and ML mechanisms have for the SNS community, and how the European researchers also view this as one of the major building blocks, so really worth investigating. The other thing we wanted to know was the high-level category of solutions. So there's many things we can use AI for. And we wanted to find out what are the SNSJU projects mostly using it for. Here you can see the pie charts of the top categories of solutions being investigated. So you can see that network optimization and control is by far the most addressed category, and it's also applied in multiple different layers and levels. So the most popular one in our case is the radio access network. So mechanisms based on AI to optimize and control the run. And then compute infrastructure, security, transport backhaul, or even on the application layer, we see that there are mechanisms being developed within the SNSJU. Also, on the bottom graph, you can see the percentage of solutions in its category. You will see that they follow a similar split. It's interesting to show that as a secondary category, after optimization and control, we see network diagnostics and insights, which is could have been expected based on the power of the AI presents and how useful it can be for network diagnostics. So again, this is used on multiple levels and is a very popular solution among SNS projects. So the other interesting thing we noticed was that half of the projects that responded in the survey address one or two of these categories, while the other half actually address between three and seven. So we see a plurality of solutions being developed even within the same project, which is really good, generating a lot of knowledge for SNS researchers. Then going a little bit deeper into the exact use case being addressed by these AI mechanisms, we have this categorization. Try to find out a little bit more about the exact functionality that they serve. And we see that at the dot, we have use cases related to radio aspects at the physical grade. And it's always a tie with security and anomaly detection. So these are by far two most addressed use cases by AI mechanisms, as they're very fruitful for AI to be applied, and they have a lot of advantages when applying AI mechanisms to them. Use cases related to security and anomaly detection, as we said, are close second, and resource allocation, the network and security and privacy are also quite popular. The other important insight to take out of this is the wide variety of applications and use cases that we see that AI is being applied to. So that gives us a very broad field of application. And it means we can get to investigate a lot of different aspects and get the pros and cons for the application of the different mechanisms. Again, a lot of knowledge expected to be generated. So more than 27 different use cases are being developed by the SNS Go1 and Go2 projects. And to wrap up my part of today's presentation, I'd like to give you a little bit of information regarding the maturity of the solutions investigated. As I mentioned, Cole, at the time that this survey took place, Cole1 projects were closing into 2 years of operation, while Cole1 projects were barely closing in on one. So we separated this, as you can see in the legend, into three different levels. So the first level of the maturity of the mechanism was mechanisms at the conceptual design level, so very early development stage. A second level was a preliminary results available that meant that researchers had the opportunity to get some early results from the application of the mechanisms. And the third level was the when a mechanism had consolidated and mature results available that were tested, and we could already see some of the results. So we see that 62% of the mechanisms being developed fall into the second category, so the preliminary results. That makes sense given the time frame of the survey, as I mentioned. Well, there we have a 21% of conceptual design stage and 17% consolidated mature results. That makes a lot of sense, as of course, as I mentioned, all the projects didn't have time to wrap up their research. As time moves on, we'll have more and more mature results. You can also see this depicted in the bar graph showcasing which of these mechanisms belong to Cole1, Cole2 projects. And as you will see, of course, Cole1 has a lot more mature results as they have more time on their hands to investigate those mechanisms. So this is the broad picture, and then I will stop here my part and give the floor to my colleague Pavani to talk to you about the mechanism methodologies of the mechanism. So Pavani, please, the floor is yours.
Okay, great. So I am Pavani Porumbake. I am from Finland, ETT Research Center of Finland. So let's go forward with the presentation. This presents about the network segments where we studied based on the SNSJU experiments results we received related to the AIML mechanisms. So here we consider, based on the results, we consider different network segments that consider AIML mechanisms, such as FAH, radio access network, front haul, back haul, transport, edge, and the core network. So here, FAH refers to the end equipment devices with the compute capabilities and the RAN for the G0B, so other radio units. Front haul and back haul nodes, which are topological split or decoupled from the radio units and realize this the lower and higher parts of the radio protocol stack. And the transport network refers to the transfer of the user data between the radio and the core network. Edge nodes for the with the compute resources, which are physically located close to the access part of the network, and core network, of course, is the nodes that bridge the telecom operator's domain with the internet. So as you can see in the pie chart, RAN has the highest popularity with the applicability of this AIML solutions. Based on the results, we received about 43% of the overall usage. RAN covers about 43% of the overall usage. And also, this applicability of AIML solutions for the cross-domain solutions is also showing a reasonable portion next to the RAN, that is about 16%, and then the remaining segments are covering the rest of the portions. Forward, we also did a study about the goals of using different AI mechanisms. And the goals of using AIML mechanisms in this projects span a great variety depending on the key focus area of the project and also related to the scope of the 6G development. So here, as you can see in the chart, this optimization of different aspects, they have covered the major portion of the overall AI usage of AIML mechanisms. optimization in terms of network resource allocation, QoS, or this ISAC performance and different with certain different aspects. So this covers about 31% of overall usage, and also security and privacy related topics also cover a significant amount as the next most popular area. And energy efficiency to use of AI mechanisms to improve the energy efficiency also has gained made a big representation, reasonable representation in the overall mechanisms. And then regarding this AI learning types, so AI refers to these different technologies that enable machines to mimic the human intelligence when it comes to decision-making or problem-solving. So in order to achieve this behavior of machine learning toolbox is used, and then machine learning includes these different methodologies to enable machines to learn and improve the solving of specific tasks and experience. So here we can identify these three main learning techniques, including supervised learning, unsupervised learning, and reinforcement learning. Regarding supervised learning, there are different techniques that have been used by the projects related to decision trees, naive-based, or support vector machine, random forest, so on and so forth. And at the same time, unsupervised learning mechanisms, including k-means clustering, principal component analysis, or singular value decomposition. And related to reinforcement learning, different policy and value-based reinforcement learning mechanisms have been used, where the value-based ones include dynamic programming, Monte Carlo, or temporal difference approaches. So this is the summary of this used AI learning types based on the results we received. As Kostas mentioned, we have performed this study for 119 machine learning solutions, which we received information from 33 SNSJU projects. And as you can see, the majority of the mechanisms are belonging to these supervised learning techniques based on the results. Nearly half of the, all the mechanisms. And this many well-defined supervised learning algorithms with this available reference implementations justify this preference against these unsupervised ones. And also non-classified ones, including semi-supervised and mixed approaches, are also adapted in a reasonable amount, which is about 60% of the overall received information. And then regarding the reinforcement learning mechanisms, there are about 24% of the total with the lack of data for training and the dynamic nature of the problems. This in the network segment justifies that 24% of the solutions use this type of reinforcement learning methods. Going into a little bit deeper with the more specific AI/ML techniques used in different projects and based on the answers received under this category. So about 51% of specific learning techniques, including this neural networking and deep learning mechanisms, are represented as in the pie chart. And then hybrid methods are also used about 15%, and this includes using different type of large language models or generative AI models, or this interpretation of these decisions made by other by the or models, or incorporate with the reinforcement learning for fine tuning responses. And in addition to that, there are certain techniques, explainable AI techniques like Shapley or LIME, or other decision making techniques in like decision trees or random forest. This type of techniques have been also used in a less amount of portions. So so this is the summary we have received related to the AI/ML methods used. So with that, I would like to invite my colleague Chofika to continue with the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Pavani. Now, continuing on the investigation, what we did, so we saw before that we investigate the domain of usage and the methods, the ML method that has been used. But then we investigate also from technical perspective the ML and AI models that have been built and used in the different SNS projects. And this is from three dimensions. One is the model complexity and time scales of the operation for those models. The second dimension is how the monitoring of those models is done. And the third one is if those models are supporting explainability or not. Let's start by the model complexity and timescales of operations. And for that, we investigate, and one important aspect is the inference timescale. Because the inference timescale will inform us on the suitability of those models for specific kind of use cases. And for that, we were inspired by this classification from Oran on the time scale in terms of real time, non-real time, and near real time. We noticed that most of the solution, the majority of the AI models that has been reported are providing a time scale that is near real time or real time, and this key insight showed this the suitability of these solutions, especially for use cases that are latency sensitive application. And we can see that this is coherent with what we already find in terms of which segment of the network it's this AI models have been developed. And we notice that we have a majority for the run part, which is a sensitive, latency sensitive segment. For the near real time solutions, as we can see, is less common, but still interesting and also appropriate for application that are or use cases that are less critical in terms of latency. We also investigate which of those factors or what are the factors that can define the model complexity. Because the model complexity, if you have a complex model, means that this could impact either the inference time scale or also in same time could the training time scale or the explainability. So make the model complex to be explained or interpreted. And based on what we received and collect from the SNS project, the top five here are the learning approach. They consider that the learning approach means which model is used, like if you are using classical ML or deep learning or reinforcement learning or generative AI. This is the one of the of the key or the main contributing factor. Also the number of layers, as we notice that in the case of deep learning, having a deep network with more than 10 layers could have an impact also on the complexity, especially in terms of the training time of the model. But we have also the number of parameters that constitute the model. Means the neurons and so on, and also the model hyperparameters like the learning rate and other kind of hyperparameters that also can have an impact on the training time, and this could have of course an impact on the resource usage when we are training or fine-tuning or retraining our model. The last one, which is in this top five, is the feature space size, but still is less emphasized as a key factor contributing to the model complexity. Now, taking also, as I said, beginning when we talk about this time scale, we have also this training time. And the training time could indirectly relate to the model complexity or contribute to the model complexity. And for this, we had a deep investigation in terms of the scale of the training, where we defined four categories, saying very low if it's in the order of milliseconds, low for minute seconds, also medium when the training time is in the order of hours, and high for a training time for days. And we noticed that the majority of the models are for exhibiting or presenting low complexity. And this is also in line with what has been reported and on the type of models that have been used, because most of them, they are using either classical machine learning or also shallow deep learning approaches, means with deep learning models with less than 10 layers. For the high complexity in terms of training time, so here when we notice that we have 13% of the reported model are presenting a training time on the order of the days, and when we try to closely investigate what makes this training time in the order of the days, we notice that this was associated to the use of generative AI. Which require times in order to for training or also for fine training. Yeah, so this for the complexity. Now for the other dimension, as I said, is the model monitoring, which is very important as tracking the quality of the model during the training phase or during the serving phase is important in order to increase the trust in the decision that will be taken by these ML models. And first, in the first part, we try to identify what was the metrics that has been adopted by the different SNS projects in order to assess the model quality and how they are monitoring their models. And the findings based on what has been the inputs that we collect, we found that the model performance, the common model performance metrics like precision, accuracy, and so on, and also the metrics that are related to the application itself, which is using this model, are the most dominating metrics that the SNS project are using in order to monitor the quality of their models. Another key insight here is that we noticed that the AI trustworthiness metrics, which means there's metrics that are related to the model security and the robustness to AI adversarial attacks, the metrics that are related to the model privacy and preservation, to saying that the model is ensuring the privacy, the metrics related to the explainability were less or received less attention in the SNS project. And this an aspect which is very important and need to be maybe to have more emphasized in the future, as without this metrics, it will be maybe difficult to say that the AI we are integrating in our network is providing or making the decision that should be done, and it's also preserving the privacy of the data and the end user. Now, for the case of the, as I said, that this monitoring should be made either in the training phase and also in the serving phase. We need a continuous monitoring of our model. It's very important. However, here we noticed that most of them related to either the training phase. So they report that they are monitoring the models at the training phase or either at the serving phase, but only 7% that are providing this continuous monitoring of the quality of the model. The last dimension, which is also very important, as I said, this model explainability, as the model explainability will provide us, especially to have this trust in the decision making by our ML models. So for that, most of the models built in the SNS project we investigate report that they are using intrinsic interpretability, 77%. Intrinsic interpretability means that they are using AI ML models that are interpretable by design, like, for instance, using decision trees or using KNNs or this simple models. Only 12% are using post hoc explainability methods, and this mainly they are related to the project where they are using deep learning and as already mentioned in the previous presented by Pawani, some of these methods that have been used are LIM and SHAP for this post-explainability, means using these techniques to explain the decision-making of the model. So we are not interpreting or building a model that is already explainable. And with that, so I finished this part about this aspect related to the monitoring complexity and also explainability of the model. So now, please, I think it's the next speaker. So
thank you, Shafika. I think Mario can take over now.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Kostel. So we talked about inference, we talked about training complexity. But what we didn't talk about yet is training datasets. So just to get everyone on the same page, when we talk about training datasets, we're talking about collections of labeled and or unlabeled data that are used to teach the AI ML algorithms to recognize patterns and behaviors and make predictions accordingly for future events by adjusting their model parameters. So usually what is being done in these situations is data are collected and split between training data and what we call testing or inference data that are later used to validate and confirm the behavior of the AI models. Now, we identified three main categories here. The one is real data sets, the other one is synthetic, and the last one is a combination of two, mixed. Now, real datasets in the networking world are data that comes from actual observations, from packet captures from real-world networks, such as well-known datasets like Kaida or Maui, or from production routers and switches, for example, pickup files. Synthetic, in this case, refers to simulated network traffics generated by tools like NS3 or Mininet or SCAPI to model specific events. And mixed is a combination of the two, usually produced by injecting some simulated events into real traffic datasets in order to create some events of interest, let's say, labeled, such as the case of anomaly detection in networks. Now, what we see here is a trend, is a preference for synthetic and mixed datasets that accounts for 57% of the mechanisms reported, which shows actually that there is a challenge in obtaining real-world datasets for AI ML model training in networked related AIs. Now, you might wonder why this happens. Usually the case is that with real data sets, there come some concerns about privacy and security. There are also regulatory and compliance issues. legal issues, and also sometimes it's a pure preference, because real data sets can be unpredictable or imbalanced, meaning that some rare but critical events might be underrepresented, as for example a DDoS attack or some routing failures. On the other hand, mixed and synthetic data sets do not suffer from these downsides, and in addition, they also provide the controllability and reproducibility, meaning that you can define easier the patterns and the environments that you want to test your agent, your AI agent in. While you also, they also provide scalability, meaning your data set can be as large or as small as you want, and also a better control over ground truth availability, meaning percentage of label truth or false or events that's happening, and verify the event that we're trying to model. So that being said, we also had some reports about the openness of the data in the of the data sets in the methods reported here in this analysis. So we saw a clear trend that SNSJU projects try to contribute to the global dataset domain by sharing their AI dataset, or at least partially, in order to support research community, the research community. But as you understand, along with this process, there come several restrictions, like, for example, use of confidential data from operators or other security and privacy concerns, which might make it difficult for SNSJU partners to share the entirety of their data set. However, there is a significant effort underway to create such an SNSJU database. Finally, another important aspect is data privacy and security in AI. And when we're talking about data privacy and security, we're talking about ensuring that sensitive information that is used for training these models remains protected from unauthorized access, misuse, data breaches, and so on and so forth, while we maintain confidentiality, integrity, and compliance with any regulations. So an interesting direction that we saw here is that many of the methods reported that they use federated or other multi-agent learning methods to provide what we call decentralized security. And that means that actually many projects try to keep their data decentralized during training, meaning that models are trained locally on user devices or private premises, and only aggregated updates, aggregated weights, let's say, not raw data, are shared with a central cloud server where the aggregated learning takes place, thus reducing exposure. Now, we also had around 9% of probabilistic techniques like differential privacy, and 20% reported other more typical, let's say, security methods like cryptography and token-based approaches. We also had a case that some projects reported explainable AI as a security method. Now, what is also interesting is that some projects report no significant concerns, around 26% of them, which means that they use local training or they don't use any private or personal sensitive data, or they do not use any data that reveal what we call identifiable patterns. Finally, I would like to address the elephant in the room, that we had a huge amount of projects that did not provide information, around 73%, on privacy and security strategies, and this happens mainly because they are not yet assessed, or they are under study, and also some of them reported that it is still an open discussion point, especially with the evolving 6G regulations. So that was all from my side. So Maria, I think you are next.
Yes, thank you, Maria. In this slot, we're going to cover what kind of training data were used to train the AI ML mechanisms, and also what was the output of these mechanisms, essentially where do these AI models are acting on. So I'm going to begin with the training data. So first of all, based on the responses that we got from the projects, we conducted a mapping process to classify these input data sources. So the categories were defined based on the data origin and their nature. So as you can see in this table, I'm not going to go through all the categories, of course, but we have categories like the radio access network, network level metrics, for example, metrics that were sourced from pickup files. We have computing resources, CPU, RAM utilization, or even core network metrics. This has to do with information that come from core network elements like packet gateways, like signaling processes for NFs, network functions, and so on and so forth. So there are also some additional categories like application level metrics or even UE metrics that directly represent the user. Here is a very summarized version of these categories. You can find the full definitions on the white paper. So based on this categorization, then we proceed with showing the training data distribution. So essentially you can see here, let's say the most popular categories. So as you have already heard today, the radio access network optimization was the most popular one in previous figures. So essentially here, we also have RAN related inputs leading, let's say this, leading the responses on the questionnaire. Next, we have the cross-domain inputs. This means that we have sources for multiple domains and also network level metrics and computing resources following. We also have at, let's say, the end of the queue, more niche use cases that are related to security and privacy and some optical inputs. Now, we also have this cross-domain category. And because the cross-domain sometimes hides a bit information, we wanted to see a bit more in detail what kind of combinations of input data sources we have. So we further processed these inputs. It was 28 entries. So that's why you see this distribution here in the figure. So essentially, the most popular, let's say, combination of input training data are this here, network level metrics and computing resources, radio access network and computing resources, application layer metrics and computing resources, radio access network and network level metrics. So these were really, let's say, popular in the questionnaire. And this sums up the input training data that were used. So now we go to the output of these AI mechanisms. Essentially, we wanted to see where do these mechanisms are acting on. So essentially, we did a similar mapping process based on the inputs that we received from the projects. We came up with these high-level categories. So for example, we have radio optimization. This means that the AML mechanisms is used to improve the operations of radio network. For example, schedule the resources more effectively. We also have computing resources optimization. This has to do with improving the CPU or the RAM usage, container or VM operations, VNF placement, and some network level optimization. For example, predict the throughput or latency, as a matter of fact. So we have even more categories. As before, you can also find the full definitions of each category in the white paper. So the distribution of these responses, again, we can see the radio optimization, of course, as was a bit expected. This also leads, let's say, this this category, with almost 32% of the responses are using the mechanisms to act on radio optimization. So, and then we have also some other key areas. I will just mention a few: security, privacy, and trustworthiness. Computing resource optimization. These were really popular responses. And you can also see some more niche area like the energy consumption or application optimization and so on and so forth. So this summarizes the input and output training data. So I will also proceed with the conclusions based on this work. So in these presentations, you saw the bigger picture that this effort had. So this was the first step towards track the AI-based mechanisms that are used in the projects of the SNSTU. It was a systematic tracking. And it serves also as a foundation for further benchmarking. So you heard also before from Marios about the training data sets. That's also a big, an important item. So this hopefully will serve as an approach to support some future validation efforts and refine the AI research that takes place in these projects of the SNSTU. And hopefully it can draw a roadmap for AI research in the SNSTU regarding the data sets, probably promote some data sharing agreements across public and private entity so that it's easier to access available data sets, even focus on advanced AI techniques, privacy, robustness, reliability of AI systems. You also heard about the continuous monitoring gap that in the previous presentation of Safika. And finally, this, let's say, efforts in these AI-based systems hopefully will be also be used to contribute to standardization for SIGG. So this is it from my side. Kostas, I will give the floor to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Maria, and many thanks to all the speakers for their detailed presentations. So that brings us to the end of our, let's say, of the presentation part. I would like to thank all the editors and all the projects that contributed to this very large survey. Not an easy thing to do to try and categorize and analyze such input. I hope you can appreciate that. And let me again stress what Maria also mentioned, that this is just, let's say, the first step that we're taking from the technology board. There's still a lot of things to find out about the AI mechanisms. And as the work progresses, the mechanisms mature and more results become available, we will definitely revisit the issue and try to find out even more about what we learned from the AI mechanisms.
This podcast is brought to you by SNS ICE, an EU-backed project focused on creating a collaborative environment for the development and deployment of 6G smart networks and services. The project has received funding from the European Union's Horizon Europe Research and Innovation Programme under grant agreement number 1010958411.